you stayed out in the cold, you'd die. I couldn't just leave you out there, so I brought you in. And so Mr. Barnett asked Jake Woods if he could pray before he left. And Jake Woods said, sure, go ahead. And he began to pray. And he prayed, Lord, I came to the door of Jake Woods' cabin yesterday, and he took me in. But Lord, he prayed, you've been at his door knocking for years, and he hasn't let you in. And this preacher said amen, and he looked at Jake Woods, and he said he was staring at the door like he was seeing something there. And he said all at once, Jake Woods said, come in. And so Mr. Barnett left. The following Sunday, Jake Woods showed up at church and made a profession of faith and explained that what he was doing when he told whoever was at the door to come in was he was telling Jesus Christ to come in. And Jesus Christ came in and saved him. Now, God saved a fellow with that kind of reputation. And dear friend, let me say to you that the God who saved Jake Woods will save you today if you'll let him. So, God is able to keep his promises. God is able to save the lost. Thirdly, God is able to keep those that he saves.
Amen.
Sometimes people worry that once they get saved, they won't be able to stay saved. My dear friend, if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't keep yourself saved. He keeps you saved. Jude verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Christians sometimes spend their lives without the peace and the joy that they ought to have, because they never come to an understanding that once you're saved, Jesus not only saves you, but he keeps you saved.
Amen.
Christian, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Don't worry, he's going to keep you saved. Suppose that Brother Block and I bank at the same bank. Now, I don't have any idea whether we do or not, but suppose we do, and one of us has confidence in the bank's ability to keep our money safe. The other one worries that somebody's going to rob the bank or something's going to happen and he's going to lose his money. Now, one worries and one doesn't, but both of them, one of them's money is as safe in the bank as the other. The one who worries, his money is as safe as the one who doesn't worry. Because it's not dependent upon the people. It's dependent upon the bank. Now, my getting to heaven is not dependent upon me. If it were, I'd never make it. And by the way, you wouldn't either if it was up to you. But my getting to heaven is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is able to keep those that he saves. He saved me when I was 18 years old on March the 24th, 1976. Know what? I'm still saved. Jesus is able to keep those he saves. Okay, fourthly, God is able to enable us to stand for Christ. Sometimes lost, unsaved people are afraid to get saved because they're afraid that they can't live the Christian life. Now, I was afraid of that same thing before I trusted Christ. I thought there's no way I could live for God. But concerning weak Christians, Romans chapter 14 and verse 4 says, God is able to make him stand. My unsaved, lost sinner friend, you come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Savior. Now, the Christian life's not always easy, but God will give you the desire to serve him. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God will give you the desire to serve him, and then he'll give you the power you need to serve him. He's able to enable us to stand for Christ. Number five, God is able to help us in times of need. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's saying, because Jesus faced trials and difficulties and afflictions when he was on earth, he therefore is able to help us when we face difficulties and hard times and burdens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, the scripture says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able, you see. Christian, do you have a need, a problem, a burden? Take it to Jesus. He's able to help in times of need. I'll move on and say, number six, God is able to subdue all things. Philippians 3:21, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's able to conquer or subject all things unto himself. Those who will not submit to him as Savior, he will one day conquer by his power. Philippians 2 verse 10 declares that every knee shall bow. Now you may not bow here, but you'll bow. You may be so full of pride, as some are, that you exalt yourself against God. You mock and laugh and ridicule God now, but the time will come that you'll bow and own him as the Lord of the universe. A preacher was burdened about a certain man in the community where he pastored, and he went to see this man. The man was out in his front yard mowing his grass. And so the preacher came and started to try to talk to him about the Lord, and this fella cussed the preacher. Oh, that happens sometime. Jesus said, people treat you like that for his sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's a whole lot easier said than done, but that's what Jesus said. And so anyway, this preacher was trying to win this fellow to the Lord, and the fellow was cussing him and ran him off. Within 5 minutes, the mower that he was mowing with went over a place where there was a little minute piece of wire. And that wire was thrown up by that lawnmower and penetrated that man's heart, and he dropped dead while mowing his yard. You know what happened? God subdued him. He conquered him. He brought him down. God is able to even to subdue all things unto himself, and he will one day do that. All things. Next thing, I think this is number 7. I got more points than a barbed wire fence. Number 7, God is able to destroy those who reject him. James chapter 4, verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. He's able. The same God who's able to save those who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior is able to destroy and send to hell those who reject Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. This is the choice that you face as a lost person today. Receive Christ and go to heaven. Reject Christ and die in that condition and go to hell. He is able to destroy those who reject Christ. Number 8. Some people probably won't like this. If you don't, you're probably in the wrong place. God is able to redeem Israel. Romans chapter 11 and verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, he's talking about the people of Israel, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. He's able to do that. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And God is able to redeem Israel, and he one day will redeem Israel. Let me go on and say, number 9, that God is able to answer prayer. He's able to answer prayer. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7, the scripture tells us, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. This is talking about Jesus. He cried out to the Lord, and his Father heard him and answered his prayer. If you're saved, your Father is the same one that Jesus had. You're his child if you're saved. It's what John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He's able to answer prayer. And finally, let me point out that God is able to raise the dead. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, tell us this. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He said, God's able. When the Lord told Abraham, you can read the story in Genesis chapter 22, and the Lord told Abraham, take your son Isaac over to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, God knew he wasn't going to allow Abraham to do that, but he wanted to see if Abraham would do what he told him to do. So Abraham said, come on, Isaac, we got to go. And they went up to Mount Moriah, and Isaac, as they got up close to the mount, Isaac said, now, Dad, we've got fire and we've got wood, but where's the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And about 2,000 years later, God did provide himself as a lamb for a burnt offering. You do know Jesus was the Lamb of God. And God was able to raise the dead. Now, he did not allow Abraham to offer Isaac, but Abraham was fully intending to do what God said. He had Isaac on the altar, had the knife raised, and the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, good thing Abraham was listening, wasn't it? I'm sure Isaac thought it was a good thing. But the angel said, leave him alone. There's a ram caught in the thicket over here. Abraham looked over there, and there was a ram. And so the angel instructed him, go get that ram and offer him in the place of Isaac. See, at that point, the typology changes. The typology had been Isaac as a type of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son who died. But now the Lord says, Abraham, offer that ram over there in the place of Isaac. At this point, Isaac becomes the type of the sinner who needs a sacrifice offered on his behalf, and he got one, a ram. And so, but the reason Abraham was doing what he did, see, he understood something that a lot of people read through there and don't understand. God had promised Abraham, you're going to have a son. You and Sarah are going to have a son. And in that son, in Isaac, shall thy seed be called. All of the promises, what they call the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham, all the promises that I made to you are going to be inherited by Isaac and those who descend from Isaac, his son Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, here Isaac was, probably, and Isaac wasn't a little kid. Isaac was probably 20 years old or more at the time this happened, but he trusted his father. And Abraham understood, now, Lord, you said that in Isaac would my seed be called, that all of your promises to me would be fulfilled by Isaac and his descendants. Well, Lord, Isaac doesn't have any descendants. He's not married yet. So Abraham, here's what Abraham thought would happen. He knew God had promised that. And now God's telling him, offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Well, what Abraham thought would happen would be that he would offer Isaac as a sacrifice and God would raise Isaac from the dead right away. Because he knew Isaac had to live because he had to have some descendants for God to fulfill his promises he'd made to Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. God didn't do it that way. He didn't require Abraham to offer Isaac. He let him go through the process of being prepared to offer him, and then he stopped him. But Abraham understood that God's able to raise the dead. Now, he proved that some 2,000 years later by raising Jesus. And one day at that event that we call the rapture, when Jesus comes back into the clouds and calls for his people to come up and meet him. In that day, He will raise every child of God of this New Testament age who has died, and that's thousands and millions of people, raised by the power and ability of God. He is able. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Now, if you are one who has never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll come to him today and receive him and get saved. I often say, I don't want anybody that I preach to go to hell. And yet, I'm sure that there are numbers of people already that I've preached to that are in hell right now. Don't you be one of those. You come to Christ and receive him as Savior. I hope that you will.
With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you cannot go back to the time and place that you asked Christ to save you,